And welcome again to Flynn, that quietly reluctant Vancouver private eye, played by Boyd Norman, and written by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Framed.
It was just a week after Willie rented a two-bedroom condo a couple of blocks from Sam's place. She was still part of her uncle's law firm, but said she needed her own living space. Sam called it her nesting instinct. It made me nervous. Why the extra bedroom?
The extra bedroom? In case some friend comes to visit. Or maybe I'll get a roommate to share the cost.
See what I mean? She was being evasive. Never a straight answer. Anyway, I had my own concerns. My security consultant contract with the Granville Island Authority was up for renewal. So I decided it wouldn't hurt to play night watchman for a while. I patrolled at random hours, riding my bike a different route each time. And more for company than protection, I took along Tides, the stray dog I'd befriended.
Tides, get out of here. Keep up, will you? I don't want to be out here all night. Hey, what's going on down there? Look out, Tides!
I got a glimpse of the driver as the van sped by me. He looked vaguely familiar, but there was no way of catching up to him. Was he trying to break in the service door to Lazenby's gallery? I checked the lock. It was still intact. Next morning, I alerted Phil Lazenby, the gallery proprietor, a middle-aged dilettante with an indulgent smile. He was cooperative, but not too concerned. After all, nothing had been stolen. Not a very realistic attitude, but he was the product of a privileged upbringing. Why he hadn't gone through the family fortune by now, no one knew.
A blue van?
Yep.
My God, Flynn, that would cover half the delivery trucks in town. What do you think, Tony?
Well, did you get a look at the driver?
Yeah, as I rolled out of the way. Long hair, beard, steel-rimmed glasses. Pretty sure I've seen him somewhere before.
Sounds like a blast from the past, someone out of the 60s.
Well, it'll come to me. I never forget a face.
I don't think he'd be targeting my gallery.
No?
There's not enough money in it. I don't cater to the upscale market. Just Canadian artists who show a little promise. Like Tony here.
Oh, yeah, me and Emily Carr. I'll have to die before Phil makes any real money off me.
Patience, my dear boy. Your time will come.
Oh, isn't that what they told Van Gogh just before he cut his ear off? Don't answer that. I'll just get back to my picture framing.
Right. Tony Orsini was just one of several artists in their mid-20s who showed their work at Lazenby's gallery. Despite his offhand banter, Tony was serious about his painting. He'd studied in Florence for 2 years and had come home to Vancouver still searching for his own particular abstract style. Phil Lazenby did what he could to help. A one-man show this past winter and part-time work at the gallery.
Well, thanks for the warning, Flynn. Can't be too careful.
Yeah, well, I'll be around the next few nights. He could come back.
Good idea.
Well, do it for tonight.
Yeah, oh, watch the paint.
Yeah, right. I see it. Sam, what about these colors?
Hmm?
Not too feminine, are they?
Well, it's your apartment.
And I really like Navajo colors, but I want everyone to feel comfortable here.
You mean Flynn?
Has he said something to you?
No, but he's fidgeting a lot.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
Oh, come on, Willie. Two bedrooms and a view? His bachelor alarm's gone off.
I'm not trying to push him into anything.
Well, entrapment is entrapment, no matter what color you paint it.
Willie? Sam, anybody there?
In here. Sam, keep your bright ideas to yourself, okay?
Yes, Ms. Spider.
Hi.
It's not funny, Sam.
I got your note about painting the kitchen.
Oh, your timing's perfect.
Yeah, we just finished.
And I'm out of here. Oh, mind the sticky stuff.
All right. Sam.
Yes, bye-bye.
Sorry, I didn't realize it was this late. Maybe I better get back to the boat.
What's the rush? I want your opinion on the new painting in the living room.
Oh.
Come on, we can see it best from here.
Oh, well, how about that? Tony Orsini's, right?
Yeah, you like it?
Oh, it matches your furniture, I guess.
That does it. I'll take it back.
Oh, why? You like it? Keep it. What do I know?
There's no problem. I took it on a trial basis. I don't want something that will irritate my friends.
That's the way our relationship was going the last couple of weeks. Willie and I talking at cross purposes. I wanted to keep things free and easy. She seemed to have a hidden agenda. Now, I know booze and woman trouble don't mix, but I was feeling edgy when I left Willie's. I figured a beer or two at the Pelican Club might fix me up. When I left, 3 hours later, I couldn't have cared less. Now, I decided to catch me some sleep on the Blarney Boy before making my rounds of the island. Now, I was just crossing the street on the way to the marina when a car burst out of a side street, then skidded to a halt inches away. I staggered backward and fell on my can.
Oh, my God! Did I hit you? Are you all right?
Sure, fine.
But you fell. Here, let me help you.
I just lost my balance. I'm okay.
Oh, well, thank God. I would have never forgiven myself. Are you sure you're all right?
My butt's a little numb. Outside of that, no problem.
Well, just in case something shows up later, I'll give you my name and phone number. Yeah, I got a notepad, a pencil in my purse.
Maybe it was the booze, or it could have been the argument with Willie earlier in the evening. Whatever the case, I was flattered by the attention of this attractive young woman. Silhouetted against the headlights, she was a stunning sight. Tall, blonde. She must have been on her way to a party. Summer dress, dainty white gloves. Don't see that anymore.
Just getting used to this Beamer. Should have known better than to drive it at night.
It's a cool set of wheels. You own it?
Oh, no. A friend of mine. I'm just visiting Vancouver.
Oh. Where do you live?
Oh, Mill Valley. Well, San Francisco, really.
Oh.
Now, my notebook's in here somewhere. Oh, why did I take such a big purse?
Can I help?
Oh, this is so embarrassing. Well, maybe you could hold some of this stuff to the side so I can fish around to the bottom.
Oh, sure. Like this?
Yeah, that's fine. Now, let's see. Keys, wallet, driver's license, odds and ends. Oh, here we are. The notebook. Yeah, my friends call me Goldie.
Oh, Goldie.
Yeah, guess it's my hair, huh? Oh.
My name's Flynn.
Oh.
Michael Flynn.
Oh, well, Michael. Here's the phone number where I'm staying.
Oh, thanks. Maybe we could meet for coffee sometime when I'm a little more presentable.
Oh, I'd like that. Bye-bye.
The scare with the car must have given me an adrenaline rush, flushed out my system. Or maybe not. I was beginning to fantasize about the girl in the BMW. Not that I was planning to make a move, but after all, I was a man and she was a fox. Not very swift, but a fox just the same. I made it back to the Blarney Boy and fell into a deep sleep. Early next morning, cops were all over my boat.
Hey, wake up.
Hey, what the hell's going on here?
You Michael Flynn?
Yeah, that's right. And this is my boat.
Then you're under arrest, Mr. Flynn.
Under arrest? On what charge?
Trafficking.
I don't believe this.
We found 6 ounces of cocaine hidden on your boat.
But that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Read this man his rights, Constable.
I was in the slammer before I knew it. The Blarney Boy was impounded. My security consultant contract would be suspended for sure. In one slick move, I'd been hung out to dry. But why?
Of course we believe you.
But the evidence is pretty damning.
Yeah, she's right. 6 ounces of cocaine. That's a lot of money on the street.
Who would want to frame you that bad?
Look, what about this blonde you were talking about?
Goldie. She couldn't have anything to do with it. She never came near the boat.
Give me that phone number she gave you. I'll check it out.
Oh, yeah. Here, Sam, use my cell phone.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Goldie, eh?
Yeah.
Was she pretty?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. You know, a nice kind of kid.
Well, this nice kid gave you the phone number for Dial a Pizza.
Oh, no.
Did you give her a description to the police?
Oh, sure, but I don't think they're impressed.
And who can blame them? A missing blonde in a Beamer, playing Florence Nightingale to a plastered PI. Or was she just delivering pizza?
Excuse the interruption, folks, but I thought you'd want to hear the latest.
Oh, you're dropping the case?
You wish. We've come up with a clean set of prints on the plastic bag of cocaine. Maybe you want to rethink your story, Flynn. They're yours.
It was like walking into quicksand. The more I struggled to get out of this mess, the worse things got. The only good thing that happened was Sam getting me released on bail. At least now I'd have a chance to look into the frame-up myself.
That's the last thing you should do, Flynn. Now listen to me just for once, will you?
Sam's right. Go home with him and leave the investigating to the police.
Oh, and wind up on a spit with an apple in my mouth? That detective is already licking his chops.
Well, we'll turn up something.
Yeah, I'll check our cases for the last few months. Somebody might be carrying a grudge.
Carrying a grudge? Oh. My God, there's got to be more to it than that. They've impounded my boat. And I'm looking at a heavy-duty drug charge here. Look, I've got to get out on the streets. That's where the answers are.
6 ounces of cocaine in a plastic bag. With my prints on it. That was the key. But who could put his hands on that kind of stuff? I knew one guy who might know. My old friend Eddie Righteous, sometime dealer and information peddler. And when Eddie ran at the sight of me, I knew I was onto something.
Hey, Eddie, what's happening? Hey, I want to talk to you.
Why'd you run, man?
Oh, it's you, Flynn. Jeez, you gave me a scare. I thought you were a bicycle cop. You can't hear him coming.
Cut the crap, Eddie. You were trying to give me the slip.
You gotta be kidding, dude. Since when do I turn my back on a friend?
Since maybe you got the word I'd been sandbagged by the cops for trafficking.
So I heard, but I didn't believe it.
Because you also know who framed me, right?
Hey, you keep me out of this.
Hey, Eddie, you're on the grapevine. You know all, you see all.
Not this time. Ah, you do
know. Now tell me.
It was just a voice on a phone. Yeah. I don't know who it was.
You mean you were actually in on the frame? Hey, what did I ever do to you?
Listen, Flynn, that ain't the way it went down. I didn't know it had anything to do with you. I was just going to hang up on this guy. But then he mentioned my ex's apartment number. Even your name and my kids, too. Asked if I was still paying child support. He knew all about me, man.
So you sold him the bag of blow.
Well, what else could I do?
Now, what'd he look like?
I didn't see him. A key was dropped off at my ex-wife's place, locker 225 at the Granville Public Market. I left the goods, picked up an envelope of a U.S. Hundreds, and it was done.
So you had the stuff in a standard plastic bag?
Yeah. With the top folded over, I used duct tape to seal it so it wouldn't leak.
And what about my fingerprints?
I don't know nothing about that. The bag was clean when I dropped it. I wore gloves. That's all I know, honest.
Oh, and you didn't stick around to see who picked up the stash?
Are you kidding? I just made the delivery and split. These are bad people. Part of the mob, maybe. My wife and kids, Flynn. You know how it is.
Yeah, Eddie. Yeah, I know how it is. Thanks.
No way of getting him to testify, I guess.
Eddie, not on your life. He's a survivor. I used up all my markers with him as it was.
You've got a preliminary court appearance in 3 days.
3 days? How the hell am I supposed to unravel this mess in that time?
Well, I should be able to get a postponement, but well, they'll probably keep you on a short leash. Right?
The police have released some photos of the evidence. The cocaine, the boat.
Detective Rogers believes in trial by the media.
Let's see.
What we could really use is a picture of that woman who picked you up. I don't think the cops are looking very hard for her.
Oh, why should they? They've already got me as a prime suspect. Why muddy the waters? Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Hmm?
Well, what's wrong?
This picture of the plastic bag. It isn't sealed with duct tape.
Is that what Eddie used?
Yeah. So they switched the plastic bags, poured the coke into this one with my prints on it. Then they waited till I was asleep, came back and planted it on the boat.
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
But I never handle a bag like that. Where would they get my prints?
Well, this looks like a small freezer bag.
Well, I don't use anything like that, not on the boat.
Wait a minute. Goldie's purse.
Huh? You went through her purse?
Well, she was looking for her notebook in one of those bottomless handbags. I just held the stuff to one side, but when I did, I felt something smooth. Well, I didn't think anything of it at the time, but it could have been an empty bag.
Then why weren't her fingerprints on it?
Gloves. She was wearing little white gloves.
Oh, that's still pretty circumstantial.
Without Eddie, you mean?
Or your girlfriend in the Beamer.
I could kick myself for getting back on the sauce. With a clear head, I would have seen through the blonde woman's scam, or at least I would have been able to make the plates on her car. While Willie and Sam tried to connect the BMW with someone on Granville Island, I went looking for anyone who had seen Goldie. It was a long shot, but I was running out of ideas. Then, my heart fell. They were towing the Blarney boy out of the marina.
Your boat, Flynn?
What? Tony. Yeah, it was. The cops impounded it.
Hey, what happened? I mean, the words around you are pushing cocaine.
Do I look that stupid?
Hey, I didn't say I believed it.
Yeah, well, someone is trying hard to sell that story to the cops. And they're buying it.
Huh. So they took your boat? I mean, that's a damn shame. Hey, you know, I did a little sailing once.
Yeah? Where?
Oh, a little place near San Francisco. Yeah, I spent a summer with some friends at an artist colony once. The guy who ran it had a boat. It was something like yours.
A little place near San Francisco? That had a familiar sound. In trying to get a lead on Goldie, I'd looked up Mill Valley. And what do you know? It's an artist's hangout. Could Tony have known Goldie there? Maybe she was a model. That blonde getting my fingerprints and Tony knowing more than he let on about the failed B&E at the gallery could be a connection.
Yeah, well, I gotta get going. Hey, let me know if I can help you at all.
Yeah, see you around.
See ya.
I gave Tony a little lead time. Saw he was turning back to his studio in the old warehouse building. Then I followed. Moving as quietly as I could, I climbed up the ladder to the fire escape balcony. From there, I could look through the curtains partially covering a skylight window. An open air vent carried sounds from the studio below. Tony was not alone.
We're talking to Flynn?
So what if I talked to him? He'd have been suspicious if I just walked by.
You take too many chances, Tony.
I take chances? Whose idea was it to plant drugs on Flynn's boat, huh?
Tony and Lazenby? But where was Goldie? As my eyes adjusted to the light, I saw her, a reclining, nude figure. In the half-light of the studio, she seemed to be the real thing. Stunning.
Great. Now, what do you think of it, Lazenby? What do you think of the nude?
Burn it.
Burn it? Come on, that is the best thing I've done. I've got a whole new perspective. Back to basics.
It's dangerous. It ties us to Goldie. Things are difficult enough with Max on the run.
Look, who is gonna find her, huh? She's already back in California.
Yeah, well, do me a favor and at least cover up your masterpiece.
All right, okay.
And don't forget, it's my gallery. I've got to carry on business as usual for a few months before I wrap things up.
All right.
Never mind. It'll be for me. I told our client to phone me here. Hello. Yes, sir. The special order will be ready at the gallery this afternoon. Yes, 1 o'clock will be fine. That's right. The same procedure. A finder's fee paid into my personal account on your acceptance. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So you all set?
I suppose so. Are you sure about Flynn?
I told you. He's running around in circles trying to get his boat back. He hasn't got a clue.
I very nearly dropped through that skylight and did a Batman on the two of them. But I still wasn't out of the woods. I needed something to tie the pieces together. Back at the office, I updated Sam and Willie about Goldie's connection to Tony and Lazenby.
Ah, now it's beginning to make sense. Take a look at this.
Morning paper?
Yeah, a follow-up story on an art theft in Calgary last week. A Krieghoff. The cops are looking for a suspect. Look at the picture.
Max Lehman. Steel-rimmed glasses, long hair, beard. Did it ring a bell?
It's the guy driving the van? Yeah, that's him.
So it wasn't an attempt at B&E. I blundered into a delivery of stolen art.
You just have to tell the cops to raid the gallery and you're clear. It's obvious you were framed to keep you from following up on who was driving the van.
Yeah, maybe so, but where do I tell them to look? I mean, we're not even sure this Max Lehman delivered the Krieghoff. I could have scared him off.
Okay. Let's just speculate a bit. Now, what if Lazenby is using his little gallery as a distribution point for stolen masterpieces?
Well, he'd have to find some way to hide them.
Maybe that's where Tony comes in.
Well, he could paint over the original with a pigment that could be removed later.
And Lazenby sells the new abstract to one of his special customers.
Oh, but how do we know which painting to look for? Tony paints scores of them.
Well, I suggest that we have a hidden video camera in Lazenby's gallery at 1 o'clock and find out.
This is close enough.
Okay.
We're still a block away from the gallery.
This is insane.
It's a simple surveillance operation, receiving stolen goods.
For right. God's sake, Sam, you're 70 years old.
Yeah, but I'm the only one who can do it. Now, I've never been in Lazenby's store, nor met any of the others as far as I know. Now, he knows you, too.
But what if they notice the hidden camera?
It's in his shoulder bag. I've used it that way before.
I want to do this, Willie. I'm tired of writing wills, doing family law. Just once, I want to be in on the action.
Right.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah. Well, what can happen, huh? I'll have you backing me up.
Now, if anything goes wrong, get out of there.
Yeah.
We'll be just around the corner next to the front door.
Be okay, careful,
okay.
Sam.
Okay. Here we go.
Good luck.
Michael Flynn, if anything happens to him, you're dead meat.
Willie's threat was still echoing in my ears as we worked our way around the back alley up to the corner beside Lazenby's gallery. We saw Sam go inside. Peeking in the window, I was startled to find Lazenby already serving a client. A tall, white-haired man wearing an expensive black topcoat. As the door chime rang, Lazenby looked up quickly at Sam.
Excuse me. Yes, of course.
Good afternoon. What can I do for you?
Oh, just browsing. My niece told me you had some nice things.
That we have. Look around if you like. I'll be at the counter.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much.
Yes. I agree. This is one of Tony's finest works. I think he's made a real breakthrough.
Mm, yes, indeed. You've done yourself proud, Tony.
Thank you, sir. I hope it gives you pleasure.
And this price includes the various taxes. Huh? Mustn't make a mistake.
Give the devil his due.
All taken care of, sir.
Lazenby, wait. What? That old guy. I think Flynn works for him.
Look, Tony's going over to Sam. He's seen it. He's grabbing the shoulder bag. Flynn, we've got to get in there.
Oh, Rogers, whose idea was this?
Well, we need a backup, didn't we?
All right, what's going on, Flynn?
Hurry!
Then the old guy's got a video.
Stop him! Leave him alone!
I'll break your
neck. Break it out!
All of you!
Stop it! I'm Detective Sergeant Rogers, Vancouver Police. Now, miss...
Yes.
Were you the one who phoned about an art theft ring?
There must be a terrible mistake. I run a reputable gallery here.
Now we'll see about that. Unwrap the painting, Sam.
Yeah, okay. Here now, stop that. That's my property. I just purchased it.
It's an abstract.
Yeah, it's one of mine. I mean, since when's it a crime to sell original artwork?
Maybe since you started painting over stolen masters.
Why, that's nonsense. There's nothing under Tony's painting. Just canvas. I'll show you.
Hey, wait, whoa, don't use a palette knife. You're going to ruin it.
Lazenby ignored Tony's plea and scraped off a strip of paint. The only thing showing was new canvas. Now we were the ones in trouble.
There, you see, a Tony Orsini original. No more, no less.
So it is. What do you say to that, Flynn?
Detective, my name is J.J. Stiles. Maybe that means something to you.
Hmm? No.
Stiles Industries. I'm taking my painting home until you sort things out with this madman. Lazenby, my insurance company, will be in touch tomorrow.
I'm very sorry for the trouble. We'll make restitution.
Nice try. Let me see.
Flynn, stop. We're in enough trouble.
I'd take her advice if I were you.
No way. But these people have framed me. It caused me to lose my boat. Now they're playing games with this painting. I want to know why. What's behind this cardboard backing?
Don't use a knife!
Flynn!
No, just along the edges. Oh, what do we got here inside the backing?
My lord!
Jay, that Krieghoff.
So, Tony, your painting was just window dressing for a masterpiece.
You should have stuck to nudes.
What's this all about, Lazenby? My lawyer will be calling on you. He's outrageous.
I'm very sorry, sir, but I really think you should take up the matter with Tony.
What?
He worked on the framing.
Oh, no, you don't. All right. Look, Sergeant Rogers, these two old school buddies here have been pulling this stunt for years. I mean, Stiles here has a vault in his basement. You check that
That's
out.
That's preposterous.
No, it's true.
You impudent.
What?
That's a lie.
But gentlemen.
Tony, you're out of your mind. This is a reputable gallery.
Gentlemen, what? Gentlemen, I think you'd all better shut up and come down to the station with me.
Detective Rogers found the stash of stolen masterpieces in the vault, just as Tony said he would. Tony also admitted he'd planted the cocaine on my boat. A few days later, the cops returned the Blarney Boy, and I moved out of Sam's guest room. I was off the hook at last. Except for Willie. She still carried a grudge. No, not for me getting drunk or endangering Sam. It was the painting. How the hell did she find out I'd offered to store Tony's magnificent picture of Goldie?
You've just heard Framed, Episode 9 of Flynn by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Featured in the cast were Boyd Norman as Michael Flynn, Colleen Winton as Willie Green, and Robert Clothier as Sam Green. Special guests this week were Marcy Goldberg, Bill Dow, Peter Howarth, Gary Chalk, Ken Buhe, and Kim Kondrashoff. The production assistants for Flynn are Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. The recording engineer is Chris Cutras, with sound effects by Joe Silva. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series' script consultant is James W. Nickel. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver by Don Kowalchuk. The executive producer is Bill Howell.